You can sing it with me. Take me to your holy place. Let me feel your warm embrace. As my love grows stronger, let me linger longer in your holy presence, Lord. Now before your holy throne, let me worship you alone. I will leave you never. Let me live forever
Now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God of works, all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, each part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
I want us to think about the subject of gifts. And when last Sunday we looked at talents, now people will ask, and I'm sure you've asked, what's the difference between a talent and a gift? Well, I believe the difference is a talent is something that you're born with. And a gift is something that God gives you when you're saved. And that gift is to be passed along. That gift is to be used in Christ's service. Now, we're starting a new church year shortly. The 1st of October is when we begin our new church year. And I want us to be thinking about this subject of serving the Lord together. We're here to serve the Lord together. It's to serve one another together. Now, Paul was a great apostle. He was a great intellect. I think he was a great preacher. He was certainly a great writer of Scripture. But what he liked to describe himself as was a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that in order to be a slave of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that we're gifted to serve. That God has given to each of us a unique gift. And I know there are a number of them mentioned in the Bible. And we find us quite a few of them here in this chapter, quite a list actually. But I don't think that this is even begins to describe all of the gifts that God wants to give to His church. I think there are as many as there are people in Christ's kingdom. So, but I want you to be thinking about your gift. I think what God's Word is doing here, it's giving us some suggestions how we can learn what our spiritual gift is. God wants you to know what that gift is. On that back table there, there's a little talent survey, we called it. And some of you filled one out last week, and really appreciate you doing that. That helps the nominating committee. And Pat has been collating these and putting down, you know, she's done a better job than I could do on the computer. Or anyone, I think, could do on a computer. Really appreciate you, Pat. And if you would be, if you had did not fill one out the last Sunday or this morning, you don't have to be a member. But if you would fill that out, now you do have to be a member to be elected. But as far as the talent survey, just check those things that you feel like you have, that you would like to do. Mainly that's what we would like. To have some idea of things that you've done and that you would like to do, and that would help the nominating committee to pray about and to seek God's choice for the person that would fill our needs for leadership in this coming year. Those of you that are not members, we want to encourage you to become members. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, that's where you must begin. Trust Jesus as your Savior. And then follow Him in church membership. All church membership is a commitment that we make to one another as the Church of Jesus Christ to serve Him together and to serve one another and to serve our community. We serve Him by serving our community and our world. I want us to look this morning at this subject, gifted to serve. What's different about this discussion of giftedness? I mentioned that you know, people are described as gifted, and usually we think of those that are musically gifted. You know, we use that expression. Or that have a great intellect. In other words, a person of genius. But the fact is, the Bible says each of us have received a gift. I want us to look at these gifts. We're gifted to serve. There are three lessons about spiritual gifts that demonstrate our giftedness for service. Now, the first of these lessons is the lesson of their diversity. Look with me at the scripture passage, the chapter there, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see there in verse 4, that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, there are some important lessons here about this truth of diversity, or truths about this lesson, rather, of diversity. First of all, there is unity in the diversity. There's unity in the diversity. Now, that's what's so wonderful about the body of Christ. We're all different. We're a family. Now, in that family that you have, if you have a family, if there's someone missing around the table, you notice it, don't you? And you find out why that person is missing. And we need to cultivate this family togetherness. Because there's unity in the diversity. But there's also intentionality in the diversity, which means that, by which I mean that God made it that way. Now, wouldn't this be a dull world, and wouldn't it be a dull church if we all did the same thing? Now, I know sometimes we'd like to do the same thing. You know, we have these glamour positions, and you know, there aren't many to be truthful, but there are a few of those that are coveted. Now, I know you're probably scratching your head and saying, "Well, preacher, I don't know of any like that." I think you do. There are those positions that we, we might aspire to, but that's not us. But some of you, you couldn't even boil water. Well, you probably shouldn't be on the hostess committee. if you're a little bit kitchen challenged as I am, my wife says I never come around during the meal time, so. I must be a little kitchen challenged. But, some of you you don't know anything about a car. I mean, all you know is how to turn the key on, and if that doesn't work, you're helpless. And not just some of you of the so-called Pharisees, some of you that are of the more masculine gender, let's say, would fall into that category. Well, it just shows how different we are. That's what makes us unique. So God made us that way. God made the church that way. And there's also spirituality in the diversity. Differences are divine in origin. Here it says the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God made them all. Until we recognize this fact and rejoice in our unity and diversity, we will not accomplish much to the glory of God. But I want us to also see here the lesson of their distribution, the distribution of the gifts. Look with me at verse 8 and following. It says, to one there is given the Spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of the knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And it goes on and names these different gifts. Now again, I think this is just a sampling. But I think in this sampling they can be divided into three major groups. There's first of all the speaking gifts. Now I know there are some people that just came out of the womb talking. Or I've heard of those. We never had one, but we've had four, and out of that four, there was one. Well, there were three that we couldn't get to talk, and one that we couldn't get to shut up. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be talkative to be a preacher or to be a teacher. But do you see how God has made us different? And not only, I want to just say something more about that. And that is that some of you say, well, what I've been saying about the ability to communicate, that's really a God-given thing from birth, isn't it? They say that girls are more communicative than boys, typically. If you've had a little girl and a little boy in the home, the chances are that little girl learned to talk before the little boy did. Statistically, that's true. But God can make the rocks cry out. This highlights the difference between talents and gifts. You may say, well, I can't speak very well. Well, Moses said the same thing, and look how God used Moses. So don't think because God hasn't talented you with the ability to speak eloquently that God can't use you as a speaker, because He can. I'm told that Abraham Lincoln wasn't really a very polished speaker, but he was a great statesman. So God can use those who are willing. What are the speaking gifts mentioned here? Well, there's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and tongues, and interpreting of tongues. These are all what I would call speaking gifts. And I think, in a sense, we all have been given a speaking gift. If you have a tongue, and most do, we are to speak the Word of God. And the Bible says that we are to covet the best gifts. And it says especially prophecy. Moses said, would to God all God's people were prophets, which is what he was called. And so don't use that excuse, well, I'm just a, I'm just a timid person. I was born that way. I was born with born tongue-tied, and God just can't use me to speak to another person about Jesus Christ. Well, that's why He's given you that spiritual gift. He'll loosen that tongue. He'll give you the words that He wants you to say, if you're willing. And then there are the, what I would call, serving gifts. Look with me at verse 9 and following. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to the distinguishing between spirits. And there's some, you kind of have to, when you divide it up like this, there's, prophecy thrown in there in the mix. That should go with what went before. But it's talking there about these, what I would call, serving gifts. Governments is another one that's mentioned there. Helps. These are like faith. I think of George Mueller of Bristol. I didn't know him. He was he lived in the 1800s. But he started an orphanage in Britain. And he literally did it on his knees. There were no funds. When he started, he was poor. And there was no means to do this. And he was called crazy and all kinds of worse names, because he believed that God was big enough to build that orphanage. It may be that God is calling you to do some great work for Him. Like George Mueller of Bristol, you will not be dissuaded by those who would try to discourage you. You just know that it's something that needs to be done and something that God wants you specifically to do. And then there's the gift of healing. I think this is like, but certainly not limited to, I think everyone in the medical profession should have this gift. Now, I like to think that everyone does, but I'm afraid, as you know, that not everyone does. Some do more harm than hurt, than heal. But certainly a Christian doctor, a missionary doctor, medical missions, hospital chaplains, these are all, I believe, in the healing profession. But I also believe that God heals miraculously. There's no cure for cancer. But I've known many Christians who have been healed of cancer. It can't be described medically or physiologically. So God is still in the healing business. And He heals through those who have the faith. I'm a little leery of faith healers, because some of the faith healers, frankly, they don't have faith and they don't heal. God is the one that heals.
Amen.
And anyone who would take that credit to himself is not sent by God, in my opinion. But there are miracles. Missionaries tell us of pagan peoples who are convinced by miracles that God condescends to do through our missionaries. And helps in governments. We need those who will guide the church and help us to work together in harmony and be our leaders. We need seeing gifts as well. Prophecy is a Greek word that means to declare before or to speak forth. I once heard Billy Graham say that he didn't consider himself as a prophet, but I believe he is. In the same sense in which Moses said, I would to God all God's people were prophets, but in a much more greater sense, of course, because God has greatly used him, preached to more people than any other evangelist. I want us to think about also the dedication of gifts. The lesson of their dedication. Look with me at verse 27. I want to just read the closing verses there. Verse 27, it says, now You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then after also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Obviously not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the Spirit's gifts, the greater gifts, rather. I think what it's saying here is that we should dedicate with accuracy. That is, we should study the Word of God and prayerfully, you know, read through passages like this. Get a good book on spiritual gifts, study it. Prayerfully ask God, what is my gift? And you know, I think when you're seeking to know what your gift is, ask someone. The chances are someone who knows you is going to be able to tell you right away what your gift is. And I know that's dangerous. Somebody's going to, you know, you're always going to get some wise guy that probably says, well, your gift is to make life miserable for everybody else. Or, you know, something sarcastic. But no, I think if you'll, humbly seek to know what that is, God wants you to know. Some of you already know, some of you don't know. I believe that's the purpose, one of the purposes, why we every year go through this kind of a ritual that Baptist churches do of having a talent survey to find out what our gift is. So dedicate with accuracy. Dedicate with democracy. Now, democracy is a word that just means the rule of the people. And someone will point out, well, as a church, we're more of a theocracy than a democracy, aren't we? And then that's true. We should be. Theocracy means that God rules. But I believe that God rules through His people. The Bible teaches that. And so we function together in a democratic way as we understand God's leading. And then we dedicate with fervency. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not unto men. I just want to challenge us this morning to know that we are gifted to serve, to find out what that gift is, and to serve the Lord together.